Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today, our guest is a German blackjack player who goes by the handle of Ultimate on various forums. His story was written up on the Blackjack Apprenticeship site, which is how he came to our attention. Ultimate, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
All right. We'll see how much you appreciate it after we're done with you. Okay, so your story starts with a Blackjack Apprenticeship boot camp here in Las Vegas. How competent were you before you went to the boot camp, and how competent do you think you were after you left the boot camp?
Well, I think I was quite competent, actually, but I just had this, I think, one year of training next to my full-time job, and I kind of tried to get better and better, and yeah, I tried to play a little bit for low stakes in a casino, and but I knew that there are some pros out there, and I thought it's well worth getting their opinion and to learn even more and to be more precise and so on. And so I looked very forward to learn from the best, so to say, and therefore, I took the opportunity to go to the boot camp, and well, I think I was definitely more competent afterwards than before, because Colin and some others showed me some weaknesses in the play and in my play, and so I was definitely better afterwards than before.
And how long ago was that you attended the boot camp?
Oh, that was in October 16.
Okay, a year and a half.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
All right. So, sounds like you recommend the boot camp to others.
Definitely. Because you can if you play at home and learn from others who also learn, you get better and better and improve, but you probably do not get to the point where others really show you where your weaknesses are, and this is something I noticed in the boot camp, and I was very much glad about it, because I don't want to know how much EV or AV even I would have lost if I hadn't got these advice. Yeah, so I was happy about the boot camp, not only due to the technical skills I learned, but also I learned a lot about companionship, and learned about how people feel when there are losing streaks and so on. And I got the opportunity to get to know some really nice people. That's the best of all, probably. And people you can go back to and ask questions to, and ask everything about the topic. This is actually, I think, a topic where many people don't understand what you're doing, and they maybe even do not appreciate it. So, and if you got the people who do the same stuff as you do, then it's always a good thing, because yeah, it's nice to talk about, and as I said, you can learn from the others a lot.
Well, yeah, it's very hard to learn anything in a vacuum. So whatever
exactly
you're trying to learn, you know, yeah, whether it's blackjack or carpentry, you're going to accelerate faster if you have other people around you that can,
yeah,
you know, help you and watch you play or whatever.
Yeah, and we have to, as card counter, you have to be kind of perfect, and if you don't have someone around you who shows you where at what points or where you're not perfect, then you will not learn it and take these mistakes to the casinos, and if they add up, then you do lose the advantage you've got. So it's I would say nearly necessary to learn from some pros.
All right. So after the boot camp a year and a half ago, while you were starting in Vegas, you took an extended vacation in the United States where you played a lot of blackjack. Take about 10 minutes and tell us about that trip.
Okay. So it actually started with coming to the US with lots of money, which was a new experience for me. Because I didn't know what.
When you say lots of money, what you brought your bankroll with you, and what was that?
No, I took about, I think about 40K with me.
Wow.
40K in the US, and so I didn't know what happened, and in the end, nothing happened. Everything was all right, but still a new experience.
Now let me stop you again. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but so when you arrived at the United States, you had to come through customs with 40K, and
exactly,
you're supposed to declare it. And how did they react when you declared the 40K coming in? Any problems?
No, not any problems. No, just the usual questions. I would say where's the money from? Is that your money? And what are you going to do with it? How long are you staying? And so just usual questions, I would say. And everything was totally friendly, and no issue at all. In the end, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're part of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, so to speak. They think anybody who comes in with 40K to gamble in our casinos is going to go home broke. So,
yeah, exactly.
So come on in. All right.
Yeah,
so,
unless you're flying in from Colombia or, Thailand.
Yeah. Maybe there are some more questions then, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but so that was the start for me. After some days, I joined the boot camp, and I left the boot camp more sharp, and then started my trip. I headed to the north and wanted to visit Yellowstone National Park. So in general, I have to say, I just didn't want to do just holiday or just blackjack. I wanted to do quite a nice mixture and I also came as a tourist, but then also as a professional blackjack player, which I wanted to be, because I was saying in the beginning I wasn't a professional blackjack player, but I would say after a year playing, I know how things work. So I started my driving trip, so to say, to the north, to Yellowstone, and this was a fantastic experience. One of the best parts. I joined wonderful weather. I joined the park when it was just about to close at for winter time, and it was very empty, but brilliant weather, and it was kind of a perfect combination.
No casinos in national parks.
Yeah, now, that's true. But on the way,
between Reno and Lake Tahoe, when you were headed up north.
No, that was on the way back, so to say. I went through Wendover, and played single leg and Wendover. I lost. but still very nice, very very good experience. Also because I played single leg for the first time,
And
so
what were you now betting at this point?
You mean by minimum maximum? Okay, at this time I think top bet about 500 or so.
Okay.
And just also, but also depend. No, I actually left early enough, so to say, and I always try to play the tourist, and it's mostly worked actually.
And he had the secret strategy of losing, so that extended his welcome.
Maybe also this helps. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, losing helps indeed sometimes to not getting barred. Yeah. So that was very nice, experience. Both the single leg playing and then moving on to Yellowstone. After this, I moved on to the north, to the Canadian border, nearly to Glacier National Park.
In Montana.
It was also, yeah, exactly. This was really beautiful. But now, as you mentioned, Richard, you mentioned the batting style. I always make this very dependent on the game itself and the risk of ruin I want to play. So I also use the CVCX software so adjusting my betting pattern depending on the game.
Well, the Glacier is in a... up in Montana, and I would not think there are big casinos there. So
no, this was also on the way to. Then I wanted to, as I said, I wanted to have some mixture of holiday and casinos. After Glacier, I went to the West Coast. So I came by, for example, Spokane or some other smaller places, and. For my next bigger goal, which was Seattle, and I think I stayed about a week in Seattle, playing lots of casinos there, and but also doing some sightseeing.
Now, Seattle, there is kind of a unique situation because they have all of these little casinos that are in bars. But they have pretty small limits, right? And then there are a couple of Indian casinos with higher limits. So you were spreading your time between both of those?
Yes. I tried to get the best in the sense of try to figure out in advance where what rules and how many decks and so on there are. And so I tried to approach the casinos with more. The best with the highest EV.
And how did that go?
Oh, very good. Seattle was very good. North of also Spokane before and some other smaller places between Glacier and Seattle. That was very, very nice time. Very good playing. Liked it very much.
So you started there.
Yes, definitely. I was up, about at that time about EV. Was really, really good. Some fluctuations, but not very many. It went very well. Yeah.
Any bad barrings?
Yes. on the way, there was actually one. Actually, I think the nastiest barring I had, where they had to sign me a paper for trespassing. Not for trespassing, but they trespassed me, so I had to sign that I don't come back. And so the whole barring process and trespassing process took a lot of time.
Where was that?
From the beginning, I wanted to go to the toilet and but they didn't let me, and that was actually quite nasty.
And where was that?
I have to think about it. I will come back to my mind later. I don't remember the name right now.
Okay, but so you asked to leave, and they told you you couldn't, that you had to wait.
Yeah. No. They asked me. They didn't ask me to leave. They just wanted to. They wanted to trespass me, and they wanted me to sign a paper, and to take pictures and.
And allow that?
Oh well, I did some I don't know how's it called. I shake my head and then shook my head, looked to the left, looked to the right, and something. And then all of a sudden I said, okay, look, we can play it your way or we can play it our way. Do you want to check out? So check I still have my cash. Do you want to cash out? So I still have my chips. So he asked me in the end, do you want to cash out your chips or don't you want to? And so he took some pictures where I didn't look very, very good, I think. And I signed the paper and then and left. That's fine.
In the end, just say to our audience, you know, never sign anything.
Yeah.
I mean, something that I've said on the show many, many times is don't cash out your chips. Just leave immediately. And if you make them put their hands on you to stop you so that, you know, now they're breaking the law.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was an Indian casino, so it was that came... It came to my mind that there are special rules there.
Okay, Richard, before we leave that subject, he's on a trip across the country, and he's going basically a one-way trip, and then he's going to head back to Germany, and he may never be in this part of the country again. Are you sure you don't want to cash out in that kind of circumstance?
Yeah. I would do my best to get out of the casino with the chips as quickly as possible. I would not sign anything. And then, you know, one of the benefits of having met people and having friends that are also card counters, I would get back to my hotel and I would call those people, the people I met, you know, in your case, the people I met at the boot camp. And I would say, this is what happened. What do I do? At least give it, you know, a day to calm down, right, and gather yourself. You know, in the best scenario, there might be other people that you met that are up in that area that can take the chips from you and give you cash. Or the worst case scenario, you have to go back the next day and cash and maybe they end up getting your picture. But yeah, I would, that's how I would have handled it anyway. As you point out, it is an Indian casino, so you don't have a lot of recourse if they do something bad, you know.
Yeah, so I actually thought about this and I had to very quickly make up my mind and in the end I chose to go for it. I read the paper actually and was just saying normal stuff like you can't come back anymore except for you play today, you speak to the manager and something like this. It was the paper I signed was pretty fine to me, so because I don't want to come back anyway. Generally you're right, but this was a remote place and the amount I wanted to cash out was severely from my point of view. I decided to go.
I'm assuming your picture went into the Oregon Surveillance Network at that point?
No, actually it didn't. I don't know why. maybe my faces I made were too bad or so, I don't know. but this came later, actually.
So after you left Seattle area, then what?
Yeah, so I decided to go south to do it the whole way in terms of going from nearly the Canadian border down to down the Mexican border. So I headed south along the coast and then drove a little bit to California. Lots of nice things on the way, like redwood trees, Sequoia National Park, and lots of casinos on the way. So all the way down to San Diego. This took some days, yeah, and some weeks maybe. I really loved it. And it was a brilliant trip. I enjoyed it every day. It was very good. So and being in San Diego, then I played around a little bit. and then I had to change cars because my I had a rental car all the time, and I had to head back to Vegas for changing cars, and then I decided to give it another chance in Wendover, because I was not. Yeah, I just had some hours on my way to Yellowstone when I went there first. So I decided to go there again for a little bit more. And this actually turned out to be my first severe losing streak in Wendover. I lost I don't know, I feel like 15K or so, which was quite a lot for me at this time, because I didn't lose that much in a row before. And so it was also...
How many hours of play was the losing streak?
It was just 10 hours or so in this case, but it was, okay. You know, this thing, so, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. it wasn't an extended losing streak. It was just
definitely not. At this point in time, it was just variance in some sort. But you know, I was approaching kind of the best game there is in terms of decks, and they have quite fair rules, and rounds are given are also quite good, and I just. Lost each and every game, more or less. Not really, but each and every session.
Isn't a lot to lose betting $500 on top
deck. No, that's true. But at this point in time, it was kind of my first streak, in the sense of no winnings in between the losses. And so another new experience. Mentally wise, I think I got out stronger in the end, because then when I actually left, I hit a small place and where they got the same game, and I thought to myself, okay, you've played this game now for some hours and just lost every game, every session, but sit down again and it will come back, and it came back. So. So this in the end, if you trust the numbers, and I'm a numbers guy, then everything's fine, so to say. But mentally wise, it was not easy in between just to sit down at a very good game, because if you've got true 5, true 6, true 7 all the time, and you just seem to lose all of the big bets, then it's not very nice. But, interesting experience.
Did you hit any long losing streaks, like over 100 hours?
Maybe a zero. Yeah, I think all of my winnings in the U.S. I made in the first two-thirds of the trip. So the remaining third, which is about 100 hours, just roughly, I made a zero. So it was not a losing streak, but a... I didn't make any money in the last third of the trip.
Right. You went on and played in Europe a lot. Have you ever had a big losing streak of more than 100 hours?
I don't think so. Not more than 100 hours, I think.
Well,
I would have to look it up, to be honest.
If you would have to look it up, it means it wasn't a very bad losing streak. People who've had bad losing streaks, they remember them like in their nightmares.
Yes. Definitely. I was as you can see in my graph. I think on my second paper on Blackjack Apprenticeship, it shows my all-time chart, and there you can see some ups and downs. But in the end, I'm more or less alternating around DV. So I'm pretty lucky regarding this. Yeah.
Well, even on his American trip, where the last couple weeks you got zero. When you start that third with a minus 15,000 and you end up with zero, that sounds like a pretty good win. Probably feels like a pretty good win, even though it was, if you start counting it with a minus 15. All right, did you have any trouble getting the money out of the United States and or back into Germany?
No, same issue, some declaration and questions, but no issue at all. No, that was totally fine.
All right, so we're now going to, we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to be asking Ultimate about his experience in Europe and how the blackjack conditions in Europe are similar and different from the way they are in the United States. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. We're posting this show at the end of March, where the promotion was about picking up extra free play. If you've managed to pick up all 8 free play amounts, there's a double dose of free play on Monday, April 2nd. Also starting April 2nd, the promotion of the month involves free buffets. Earn 300 points between 3 a.m. and 1 p.m. from Monday through Thursday and earn a free lunch buffet. Earn 600 points in that same period and earn both a lunch buffet and a dinner buffet. If you fail to earn the 600 points prior to 1 p.m., but do earn them prior to 8 p.m., you earn the free dinner buffet, but not the lunch buffet. I'm reading this before the actual promotion starts, but in past incarnations of the same promotion, you could print out your vouchers at the kiosk, use them for any eligible meal until the first few days of May, and use several vouchers at one meal should you have sufficient guests. Right now, I assume that will be that way again, but I'll let you know next week for sure. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Ultimate X Bonus Streak. As in regular Ultimate X, this is a 10 coins per line game where you earn multipliers this hand to be played off next hand. The difference between the games is in the bonus streak version, you earn a stream of multipliers, perhaps 2x, 4x, 8x, 10x, and 12x over the next 5 hands, but it is much more difficult to get those streams of multipliers started. In games without wildcards, it takes 3 of a kind or higher to earn the multiplier, whereas in regular Ultimate X, you also get multipliers on high pairs and 2 pair. Between the high pairs and 2 pairs, those two categories happen approximately 1 out of every 3 times, and you're giving that up on the multi-streak. The Wizard of Odds has published a strategy for the 8-6 Jacks or Better 10-play version of the game, which returns 98.74%. That's about as high as you're going to get with Ultimate X Bonus Streak. Still, with the right promotion slot clubs and mailer combination, it could well be a playable game somewhere. All right, we're talking to Ultimate. He has told us about his extended trip in the United States where everything went well. Now he decided to take a trip in Europe where he has different sorts of variances. So everything went well. It was kind of only in the global sense. There are lots of ups and downs in the middle. All right, so in Europe, you play lots of blackjack there. How's that different than the United States?
Actually, I just looked it up, and then after some winnings in Europe, right in the beginning, I had a 75-hour losing streak. So that might answer the question from before. I think that was the biggest one, also in terms of figures and time. So yeah, but playing in Europe, that's. A totally different story. It begins with the rules itself, so there's no hole card. In Europe, there's the just a different version or kind of blackjack. But in the end, it's just a difference against the play. It's just a difference. There's just a difference in playing against 10 and ace. In Europe, there are also lots of casinos, but Yeah, and I tried together with a friend making up a map, a Google map, where we got all the casinos on our map and we can drive to. And I was pretty confident that I could play also a lot, and then even much more, because I thought barring in Europe, it's not existent more or less, and you can play how you want to. And that's true.
Wait, what country is that where you where they're not going to bar you and you can play how you want?
No, that's what I thought, actually. What I hoped to find.
Oh, I see.
It's partially the case, actually. You clearly have some in some places you can just see that they don't have a clue and then don't know what's going on. But there are other countermeasures, actually. For example, what I notice is that if you're playing big, they sometimes just get afraid, and they cut off more decks instantly, and this obviously is pretty annoying, because more or less you have to leave the place and find another one. And you have to drive lots and lots through Europe, continental Europe at least. And
there's a couple of other things I think we should point out. Number one is the casinos in Europe are much, much smaller than they are in Las Vegas or in Singapore or Macau. So the idea of sort of just wandering in and being anonymous in the crowd is
no, the opposite.
They require a passport to enter.
Exactly. You have to show your passport to enter, so there's no way around it. So you just can't get in without. And most of the times you find one or two tables in the places. So you're getting in the crowd, and it's just the opposite is the case. So you have to show what you're doing from the beginning. That's a clear disadvantage, but the advantage, as I said, is that you seem to get more playing hours, in the sense, well, if you can play, if they don't cut off more decks like you want to, then you can play longer hours.
So before I get to my question, I just want to give our listeners a little bit of a blackjack history. In the 70s, Ken Houston and his team went to Europe, and people had no idea about card counting. And they camped out in Germany for weeks and just were beating the crap out of the casinos there. And then, after a few weeks of this, Ken Houston went on television in Germany, and they asked him how they could just keep winning all this money. And on the television program, he told them about card counting and held up a cut card, the plastic card. And
really?
He said, if you wanted to stop people from counting cards, all you'd have to do is take this cut card and move it up halfway into the shoe, and then people wouldn't be able to count cards. So thank you, Ken Houston. 40 years later, they're still, whenever someone starts winning, they're moving the cut card. But my question is actually the big complaint that we hear so often about Europe is that so many of the places are all continuous shuffling machines. So can you talk about some countries where if somebody wanted to take a European vacation and be able to play blackjack, can you talk about some countries where they don't use CSM?
I think Italy is quite a nice country in that kind of sense, and the UK is probably the most area, the most potential area to play at. So these are, and maybe also Ireland, in general, you just have to drive a lot. That's clear. And if you if you want to go around and find lots of places, then you have to drive and find, also just go to the places because you mostly don't know beforehand. I tried to get lots of information beforehand, but then there's the language is an issue. You do not find all the information on the internet if you give them a call. And again, language is an issue because they do not all speak English. And if they do, they mostly don't have a clue about blackjack rules. Let apart how the cards are shuffled by hand or machine. But yeah, the number of CSMs is very, very annoying. That was probably the most annoying issue when I went through France, for example.
Now, Germany has tons of casinos. Are they all CSM in Germany?
Mostly. There are just a handful of exemptions. Yeah.
You mentioned the United Kingdom. From what we've heard on this show before, the United Kingdom has this extra policy they use that when you're ready to cash out and they think you're a card counter, they just don't cash your chips. They don't pay you. They take your chips and don't give you money for it. That would kind of eliminate quite a bit of the EV, I should think.
That would be an extra risk, yeah. So this is not my experience, actually. I also tried to find out about this. But others whom I talked to didn't have this experience. And also for me, I didn't have the experience. I was also barred from a British casino. And they just said, okay, please check. Please cash out and please leave. So there was not a problem at all with them, but now, I might have got lucky. So I don't know.
Now in the United States, being German is rather exotic. You don't see a lot of German blackjack players, but in Europe, Germans are, well, dime a dozen. did that affect anything?
No, I think it's always quite good to play a tourist. This also always helped me a little bit, at least.
In Europe, it was not good to be an American tourist. If you bet a lot of money at blackjack in Europe and you're American,
I can imagine. It's gonna move up. Yeah, I can imagine this. Yeah. But no, it was not an issue for me to be German at other places, and no, it was really fun.
It was like, you know, 70 years ago, Germany was at war with the rest of Europe and the world. Are there lingering issues of when you go to France, being just because you're German, they're automatically your enemy? Anything like that?
No, not at all. No issues at all. No. But another not so nice things about the European casinos are the opening times, which also cuts off your times, your hours you can play, and then the traveling time, because sometimes you drive like 5 hours to another place and see that it's. Can just play some hours due to either cut card is moved or opening times or whatever, and
right. Just so have some to move of the casinos on. Don't open till 6 o'clock at night or nine o'clock at night or whatever, and have very limited amounts of hours, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like mostly roughly from 8 p.m. to, let's say, 2 a.m. or so.
Have you played Eastern Europe?
No, not yet. It's still on my list. It's already on my Google Maps, but I haven't played there yet. Romania? I was once in Romania playing, but that was just one visit in one casino, so it doesn't count.
Very small limits there too in Romania, aren't there?
Yes.
What about dress codes?
Yeah, I didn't like the dress code sometimes. Yes, it's also a very nice thing for much in American casinos. You can just walk in there like you are. Whereas in Europe, some countries, well, I've got some other addiction or some other I don't know. They feel being a casino is something special, and you have to go there with a suit or even a tie or so. This is, from my point of view, very ridiculous, but
there's
also... Yeah.
You don't wear tennis shoes with your tuxedo, Richard?
Yes.
Not allowed.
So you just have to put in, let's say, a suit and shirts in your suitcase and be prepared for having to wear this. It's not everywhere, but in some places. So just if you want to play, just take them with you in case.
Now in the United States, there's the Oregon surveillance networks, and there's others where casinos communicate with each other about strong players. Does that exist in Europe?
Not that I'm aware of, actually. No, I don't think so. Maybe within some countries, but not across the borders. That's for sure. But I am not aware of it. So big advantages are actually really playing time, and you can spread from minimum to maximum, more or less. This adds to your advantage, but there are also the disadvantages, as I said before. In total, playing in the US is a dream compared to playing in Europe. So there's no doubt about that.
Are there any problems taking currency across borders? There's lots of borders in Europe.
That's true. In theory, I thought within the European Union, I thought it's we don't have to declare, but this is, well, as we found out, not necessarily true, not the full truth, so to say. So there's actually always a little risk if you cross borders. We have to say that most of the times, if you let's say cross the borders by car, there are no border controls. Within the European Union, at least. I was once called out from a line going from France to Italy, and they picked up me, and I and they right the first question they asked is what was do you have money with you more than 10,000? I thought, wow, this can't be true. I said, so very quickly I thought about it, and I said, yes, I have. And yeah, so I had to show everything, and they started to count, and it was a kind of a chaotic situation because they both started to count my money, and I couldn't follow both well, didn't see all the money. And then I asked them, well, is it really necessary? I mean, I can show you proof from my records and so on. And then, well, in the end, they found the topic going from casino to casino quite interesting. And I told them a little bit of card counting, and then they just packed the money back in my case and then let me go.
Yeah, some of the things you have to be aware of in some of the smaller countries, I don't know if the EU you have this problem as much, but in some countries the casino will notify the customs people that you are traveling with a large amount of money. And, you know, sometimes they'll want bribes, sometimes they'll try to confiscate it. If you don't declare the money, they'll definitely confiscate it. So, you know, it's just something you have to be aware of.
Yes.
And for example, crossing from the U.S. into Canada, they will notify the casino that you're coming if you're going across the border with a lot of money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. It can be bad.
Yeah, and another interesting fact, which is, well, not very much important in the end, but I find it very interesting that some casinos actually take entry fees for going in there.
Yes.
So they just see it like a cinema or a show where you have to pay for.
Sometimes you get that back in some form of non-negotiable chip or something like that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes,
When you pay your entry fee, you go in, you see your CSMs. Do you ask for your money back? I'll take that as a no.
To be honest, I once asked, actually, that's true, actually, now that you say it. I entered in immediately, so, oh, there's nothing going on here. And I said that I forgot something. I would have to go out again, and I got my entry fee back, yeah. Yeah, but that was just once. I turned around immediately, so...
So you've told us about two extended blackjack playing trips. Do you plan to continue and do more of them, or was this just an itch you scratched and now you're going to do something else?
These two trips were very extended ones, and I was offered a nice job. I got a nice job offer, and I decided to go back to a full-time job right now. So I'm just doing sub trips, so to say, right now. Like Schwarzenegger said, I'll be back. I'm looking forward to doing this again, because I really love the freedom you have with it, and I also love traveling around and see lots of things, different things, and so I want to do a little bit more of this, but let's see how things develop. Right now it's the right time for me to do this job that I took, and so it's also good to have some EV without any variants. It's also for some time quite nice. Yeah.
Were all of your trips done by yourself, or did you ever have a companion, a blackjack companion, or any other kind of companion when you went?
Yes, but no. The trips themselves, I did it all on my own. This also is one of the points which are on the negative side, maybe, because companionship, it would be much better to do it with some other, so with at least one other person to share stories, to go through ups and downs. And this is actually a point. I wanted to come back home, also to see my girlfriend, my family, and on a regular basis. So I kind of did some, I constructed this the trip in the trips in Europe as sub trips, and not just one big one. So I always returned in home in between, and so what? If you do this alone, if you've got the time, and then go for it. But Yep, I will do it again. I will do some more trips, but right now the full-time stuff is somewhere else.
What did your girlfriend and family think about this whole
escape? Our family actually didn't like it very much. They didn't understand it, it's hard to understand the technique that it actually works when you don't have the math and technical background for it, and I can kind of understand, but my girlfriend totally supported me from the beginning. She actually trained me in the beginning. This was very, very helpful, and also I could always get back to her if I had some negative emotions or whatever in between. So this was totally helpful.
It was either last week or the week before, we had a blackjack player named John who actually taught his girlfriend how to play, yeah. And they traveled together. Is that an option for you and your girlfriend?
Yeah, for me it would have been an option actually, it turned out that it's not the right thing probably for her, was not the right thing, and it's not the right thing, so it's not an option for us as a pair.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very good to have someone in the background who fully supports you and helps you if you're losing and so on. And actually, this guy you mentioned, I met him. That was quite a nice thing, because he did a trip in Europe, and I had still all my U.S. dollars, and then we simply met and exchanged currencies, and so we saved some money, some real money, because we didn't have to go to the banks or wherever to exchange currencies. That was very nice.
Yeah, that works really well when you find somebody compatible that you can trust. Although sometimes you find out you can't trust them quite as much as you thought you could. But fortunately, that didn't happen to you.
No.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before we let you go?
Well, maybe one interesting story. I was I got a free ride from a police car.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually quite a nice story in between. So I was playing in Atlantic City and was involved in a car accident, and my car couldn't drive anymore. So I was towed away, and then the police asked me, so can you get away somewhere somehow? And I said, well, no, my car is towed away. And they said, okay, where do you want to go? And I said, I just wanted to go to the Gold Nugget, it was at this time. And they said, okay, then we can give you a ride. And then, they gave me a free ride to the Gold Nugget. Would have actually liked to get the surveillance video from this. Would be nice.
Did they put you in handcuffs to make the experience really realistic?
No, it was realistic enough to sit in the U.S. police car in the back. It's it's not very nice, not very comfortable.
Richard, how often have you been taken to casinos in police cars?
No, never. Yeah, better question is taken away from a casino in a police car, but no, never.
If you want to answer that question, that would be great. I love your stories. All right, we'll have to get that another day. All right, we've been talking to Ultimate. This has been interesting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.